everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fungela. This week's guest is Johnny Chang. He is a pastor and he went viral on the internet and he was sharing his testimony about how he went to prison, what he experienced in prison, and how his life has changed afterwards. And he is on Fungela with us this week, sharing some of his matitudes and gratitudes and just his life. Honestly, I had so many more questions that I wanted to ask him, but had to be respectful of time and let him go. But it's such a good episode. You're really going to enjoy it. And if you want to call us and tell us what your matitude is or what your gratitude is, you can call us or email us and Danielle will give you that information.
Yeah, so give us a call at 747-300-5380. You can also text us at that number as well. You can email us at fungelapodcast@gmail.com. And of course, as always, on Angela's website, there is a form that you can fill out there as well.
Yes, indeedy. You guys, this is a powerful episode. So buckle up and get ready for this episode of Fungela with Johnny Chang. Johnny Chang. Oh my God, I'm so glad you're here.
My pleasure.
Johnny, bro. Okay, so first of all, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. You're welcome.
I'm so happy you're here. I started seeing your videos on Instagram before I even started following you. You just kept coming up in my feed. And I was like, who's this thug life talking about Jesus? What is this? You know? And your videos kept popping up. And I was like, let me follow this guy. And what a blessing you are, first of all. And how cool your life. So this podcast, we do matitudes and gratitudes. Okay. We do what are our things that we're grateful for in our life and what's the thing that makes us mad. Gotcha. But before we jump into that, just to give my listeners a little sneak peek into like who you are, a little bit of your backstory, not your full-blown testimony, but like give me a little bit of like how you grew up. Then when you went to La Pinta, you was locked up. And then when you got out and then now you're like, praise the Lord. Give me a quick rundown of how that all happened.
I'm from the San Gabriel Valley, grew up on the east side of LA, grew up in project housing and just kind of broke the stereotype, right? I didn't like math. I didn't like anime. Right? I was just one of these kids, right?
Where I didn't like math.
Yeah. Didn't like math. Didn't like anime. I was just into gangbanging. My parents were immigrant parents, both of them from Korea, but ethnically Chinese. And so they fled the war, you know, and they had a lot of trauma because of that. And I think my dad, because of that, coped with alcohol, right? And so through drinking and kind of just living that type of lifestyle, I was cheating on my mom. He was doing a lot of things to, again, self-soothe. And he kind of took it out on us. So me and my older brother grew up in a very chaotic household. And essentially, at the age of 12, I joined a gang, right? I hopped off the porch. I was like, I can't trust these people. I ended up joining a gang. It was the worst time to join the gang because 3 months after that, we got RICO'd. So, you know, and that's what they took down the mafia with and all that. So they said we were like the Asian triad, right?
Wow.
And so they rounded up like 100 of us, essentially. We went to prison. I ended up I ended up getting caught up in that. And I went to California Youth Authority.
Wow.
And then from there, they gave me 4 years and I maxed out, which means I did all the years. You're supposed to only do 50%. But when you go to YA, anyone who's been there, it's literally gladiator school for kids. You have to get admitted. So they do like a psych evaluation. And then you're called a juvenile ward. Wow. So you have you have to have like mental issues.
Whoa.
And so you go in there, they give you a number, and then everybody's fighting. There's all kinds of crazy stuff that happens. People get turned out, which means taken advantage of, essayed, all this. And so I was there for 4 years and then I got out for 67 days. Obviously in that environment, there's a lot of trauma and it's all compounding. And I end up going back to prison. This time I'm 16 years old. They try me as an adult. Whoa. It's a double shooting. And then they give me 10 years. I plea out basically. And so, I end up just doing 10 years in the pen. I get out of prison. Try to fly straight. Cause you know, I think everyone has that moment of like, dang, I don't want to live in prison forever. I'm 12 to 25. I've been locked up and I just really want to do better for myself. But again, there's that little box that you check that says, have you ever committed a crime? And then you got to, you know, assault with deadly weapon. You got to put all that in. And then they're like, we're not going to hire you.
They said, no, right? Thank you.
No thanks. And so I then felt very angry, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to just go back to the streets. I got plugged in with the homies. I started selling drugs. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, got everything I wanted. I had a 43rd floor penthouse in L.A.
Wow.
We had, you know, drugs, alcohol, whatever we wanted, 3 different cars, like close to $1 million watch collection, all Whoa. Kinds of stuff. And at the end of the day, I felt empty. And I was like, why am I still feeling empty? I'm making 30, 40, 50K a month, tax-free, right? And it's literally, right, tax-free. And I'm like, dude, this is crazy. And at the same time, I'm feeling that void. And this, it's like a hole in my heart. It was the best way to explain it. And I had everything. I'd be in a room with 100 of my homies, respect everything, women. And I'm still just like disassociated. Like I on the drive home, I'm feeling like, what's wrong with my life? What's going on? And through that, you know, I found God, essentially. My mom, she was played a big part in it. Series of events happened. My friend died. Another friend hung himself in prison.
Oh, jeez.
Youngster that I courted into the gang got shot and killed as well. All within like a 2-week time frame. And I think that's when it really woke me up to go, dude, you've been shot, you've been stabbed. Like, that didn't change you. But when people you love start to die, that's when it's like, okay, it's a little too much. You have survivor's guilt. You have this emptiness. You can't live. You can't die. It's literally literal misery. And how is it that you've been to prison and you're more miserable outside? Mm. And so that's what really gave me a perspective to go, it's either you die like this or something's got to change. And so through my mom, I was able to meet the pastor, who's still my pastor till this day. And I end up just doing prison ministry. And now I'm here, you know, just famous online for telling my testimony.
That's wild. So when that change started to happen, you started to feel the emptiness and you're like, I have all this stuff, but I still feel empty. Were you communicating that with your boys, or is that something you kept inside?
No, as gang culture, it's right. Like you don't show any signs of weakness. And then I had this reputation, this like infamous reputation to like uphold, right? And so when you show any kind of tears or weakness or feelings, I would see how they would treat other people in my hood. They'd be like, bro, what, like, are you a girl? What's wrong with you,
right? So how'd you do it then? How did you start making the changes but how'd you do it?
I think when I first, so my pastor, he kind of explained the gospel to me very clearly. He said, like, you know, he asked me 2 questions, which I felt like were loaded questions now that I think about it. But he's like, do you know what sin is? And are you a sinner? Uh-huh. Right? And I'm like, bro, I didn't just draw on my body. Like,
yeah, you're all probably, look at me.
Literally. And mind you, my pastor is like a short Korean dude. Has never stepped a big toe in like the streets.
Uh-huh.
Straight up, like, doesn't understand anything. Right. Uh-huh. And so he's like looking at me dead in my face, and he's saying this, and he's suited and booted. Right. He's super clean cut, all that. And he's speaking like not only broken English, but he has a translator next to him.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like, bro, you got this dude like all in my business right now. It was like a lot. But at the same time, I could sense, you know, being in a gang, you have like a lot of situational awareness. And contrary to what a lot of people think, like we have a lot of like we pick up on little things. Right. Mm-hmm. It's very, you have that emotional awareness, too. Mm-hmm. And so I could sense that he was very genuine.
Mm-hmm.
He was just real. And so I just answered him the best that I can. I'm like, of course I'm a sinner, and sin is whatever you do that's not in line with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then he literally said, that's not true. And I was like, wait, what? And then he explained the analogy of me being Chinese. He's like, did you choose to be Chinese? I was like, no. And he goes, so why are you Chinese? And I'm like, what kind of question?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm born this way, right? And he goes, right. And he goes, let's say you eat more orange chicken. And I was like, orange chicken is not Chinese food, by the way. But, right? He's like, he's like, if you eat more orange chicken, are you going to be more Chinese? And I'm like, no. If you eat less, are you going to be less Chinese? And I'm like, no. He goes, either way, you're Chinese, right? And he goes, that's what sin is. You're born that way. You're trying to do well. You're imperfect. You're trying to be perfect. And you keep failing. And that's why you feel empty. That line, again, never shared with him anything. Don't talk to my mom. I'm like, how does bro see right through me? And I just couldn't understand it. And for the very first time, I was mind boggled, but also kind of felt this sense of like, okay, he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just going to like mislead me. I think he has like the antidote. Right. And so he explained it in that way and was like, this is why Jesus had to die. You know, he showed me some verses, changed my life completely. And then from then on, I went back to the homies and I was like, look, I experienced something kind of crazy. And first thing they did was, bro, you're on drugs for sure. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I'm sitting here going, yeah, God said that I'm perfected. You know, these Hebrews 10:17, 10:14 is saying that I'm righteous and God doesn't remember my sins and he sent Jesus. And they're just like, bro, are you smoking meth? Like, are you hitting mm-hmm. the pipe? What's wrong with you? Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and they just, but they sensed the peace that I had. Because mm-hmm. it was like immediate where I just felt, you know, I cried and I felt like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And they were just like, what the hell is wrong with you? And half of the hood was like, you know, this is a phase. Like Johnny's gonna, you know, he's probably been through something. I mean, he's been locked up all of his life. He found something different. Yeah. We respect that he didn't do it in prison, because when you go to prison, you represent something bigger than yourself, right? You're from your hood. So mm-hmm. when you walk in there, every yard, my gang is very big. So mm-hmm. every yard has a couple of our homies.
Okay.
And so, you know, he's like, they were thankful that I didn't do it in prison because it's kind of shunned upon.
Okay.
So when I get out of prison, they're like, all right, you at least stood 10 toes. You came home correctly. But, you know, long story short, basically they were shocked at first. And then little by little, they started to see like, yo, he's serious.
Yeah.
He's actually peaceful. When the homies are like, come out, he's like, oh, I'm good. You know, before I was just like, bro, a ball in each uh-huh. nose, like anything is possible, right? Uh-huh. Like Asians love Henny, by the way, right? So we literally, it was just Coke and Henny, and then women. And now it's like, I'm okay, you know? And they're just like, what? Like, wow. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think they saw the change before, like they heard what I was saying, but as, you know, actions speak louder than words. So they saw my life and they're like, bro, this guy's different. And they were cool with it.
Wow.
Yeah, so which is different.
you still, are they still your homies today?
Yeah. So my whole hood, like most of my gang is my family members. So my brother, my cousins.
Oh,
my
wow. uncles.
It's a generational thing. We've been around since the 60s. And so, you know, they just, like, even if I was to be like, hey, I don't want to be from the hood, they can't stop being my cousin, my family, et cetera. Right. So, and then they didn't shun me for that, because the stuff that I did, I kind of solidified my reputation in the hood, and I never snitched. I never PC'd up. I never went to, you know, 5150 yards. Mm-hmm. It was general population. And through all of that, they were like, okay, Johnny, he's not the type that's going to just talk and do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And mind you, this was 10 years ago where there wasn't really podcasting. Like mm-hmm. I wasn't going online. It mm-hmm. was just more of like, oh, Johnny just don't come around anymore. Mm-hmm. He's doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have an issue when I started to podcast, when I started to go in front of a camera.
Ruh-roh.
Because, right. And they're like, yo, what are you going to talk about? And I had to call the homies and sit them down and be like, look, I'm not talking about open cases, closed cases, murder cases, you know, anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm literally going to talk about this thing called a testimony. And they're like, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't know what that is. So
yeah.
I'm explaining it to them. And I'm like, you know, I help people and I want to continue to help people. I want to help the youngsters. I want people to grow out and not walk the same path that we walked. And why not? And they're like, all right. So it was really cool because they watched the first few mm-hmm. and they watched the one that blew me up, which was mm-hmm. Softwood Underbelly. And they saw the millions of views and they're like, dang, this is crazy. Like, people want to hear about this. This mm-hmm. is wild. And it kind of made the homies come out of their shell a little bit to be like, you know, we do the things that we didn't like speak about mm-hmm. needs to be kind of released a little mm-hmm. bit. And they saw it as Johnny just kind of releasing it and like helping other people through his story.
So it's almost like a mutual respect. Mm-hmm. Like, you had to not get their blessing to do what you're doing,
sure.
but a little bit of like staying like a mutual respect.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more of like, you know, most gang members have a lot of trust issues, obviously. And so they know that I know a lot of the insights. I've
sure.
been deep in that lifestyle. And so they're afraid, actually. It's really out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Most, even with me, I would carry a gun all the time. And it wasn't because I wanted to pop off on people. It's because I was afraid of getting taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so in the same way, I knew that. I knew their heart. So I had to, like, not pacify, but kind of reassure them and be like, look, I'm not going to say anything crazy. No mm-hmm. one's going to come and RICO us. No one's going to, feds ain't going to, sure. it's just all my own testimony.
Mm-hmm.
That's public information. You can look it up and that's that. And
yeah.
All right, cool. But again, they didn't really trust until they saw.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
It's like, we have to see stuff as human beings.
Of course.
Just to be like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but what are you doing? And so, yeah, it is mutual respect.
100%. Have any of the homies come around now to like where yeah. you are and,
yeah.
Turn their life around?
Yeah, yeah. A lot wow. of people. My cousin, my brother, a lot of people. My uncle too was like, bro, like, I'm so proud of you that back then, you know, we didn't know how to lead you guys correctly.
Sure.
And we made you guys, you know, fight and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, he's very proud. He was telling me this 2 weeks ago. He's like, I'm so proud that you genuinely are leading the youngsters. Because a lot of these youngins are looking up to me too. Mm-hmm. They're like, dang, that's cool. He could sit there, talk about God. And still, like, I go out with them, but I don't go to, like, clubs or anything. Mm-hmm. I have a curfew with them. I'm like, look, I'm not leaving, you know, I'm not going to stay out past 10, basically. Mm-hmm. I got to go to sleep. I got church in the morning, whatever. Uh-huh. And they're just like, all right, I got you. And I'm like, don't pass the Coke plate around. Don't do not, like, keep it respectful. And they understand. So we went out to eat a couple of days ago, and it was just cool. We chop it up. Yeah. They're like, yo, how does it feel to be famous? I'm like, bro, you guys think I'm famous. But to me, it's like, it's just, you know, preaching the gospel. Right? It's just a large following. That's it.
Wowzer.
Yeah.
Okay, well, speaking of a large following, mm-hmm. did that... Like, because you didn't expect it. You weren't trying to do that. It just kind of blew you up.
Yeah.
So how has that been for you, like, adjusting, going from, you know, this street life to Jesus to now it's, like, all these eyes are on you. So there's, like, the element of, like, fame, mm-hmm. Which in an unhealthy perspective, it kind of dabbles into... the old life of, like,
100%, yeah.
money, power, like, mm-hmm. all of that kind of things, if you don't have a healthy relationship with fame, right? So there is, like, that element of it. But then also, too, I want to hear about that, but also the weight of the responsibility mm-hmm. of all of these eyes coming to you for answers.
Sure. So to answer the first question, I mean, I think I've been cultivated and kind of nurtured by my pastor really well. I've had the grace to have really good mentors. So that's people amazing. Around me were like, bro, they say crazy stuff like, Johnny, you're dirt. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, why are you saying that I'm dirt? Right. Uh-huh. And it's biblical. You're created out of dirt, and to dirt you shall return. And my pastor would always say that you have to remember who you are without Jesus. Mm. Because every time you trusted John, like Johnny trusted Johnny, he ended up in prison. He ended up lonely. He ended up depressed. So you have to learn also that you don't have, like, the needs to actually move forward, right? But by trusting yourself. So you have to listen to other people who are peaceful, right? And he explains it like, you didn't have peace, but I had peace. Mm. And so that transferred into you because you listened. Mm. And so all you have to do is kind of respect authority and listen. And I take everything to my pastor, right? And I take everything to God, obviously. But through my pastor, he's able to kind of guide me through everything. He's the one who said, you should go to prison and do prison ministry. He's the one who said you should go to seminary and you should learn the Bible and you should read and you should understand. And then he's the one who said you should go online and share your testimony. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it's not anything that I wanted. And I think I know myself pretty clearly that I never wanted the fame. Asians in general were very reserved. Like, any high school you've been to, we eat lunch in the, like, you know, in the bathroom. Like, we legit don't want to be
don't
seen.
Look at us.
Don't look at us, straight up, right? Like, we're like that. We're secretive, and this is just how we are. And so for me to be in front of a camera, it was very, how do I say, very uncomfortable, and it was just unfamiliar. And so when he was like, you should start an Instagram, you should mm-hmm. do this, and I was like, what the hell are you talking about, mm-hmm. right? Like, I can't just go to prison where... I feel comfortable in prison, as crazy as that sounds, right? To go to the homies and be like, yo, I was here. I was at this prison. We talk. And so to step out of that element, it did teach me to be like, okay, you do the things that you don't like, but if it's for the glory of God, God will bless that. So for me, I was just kind of, you know, winging it. And then anytime I had issues, I'd go to pastor. And yeah, you know, I'm from an era where grew up in the 90s, early 2000s. Like, there wasn't really trolling back then, right? Mm-hmm. So you see trolling, you see these unsolicited opinions and people mm-hmm. saying stuff about your family, saying mm-hmm. this about you, that about you, whatever. But I had to adjust to that and go, you know what? There's a street thing, there's a real life interaction, mm-hmm. and then there's people who have burner accounts and trolls mm-hmm. and whatever. Mm-hmm. So that took a little bit too. But through it all, the fame aspect of it, I don't care for it, to be honest. Like, it's still weird. The first time it was so, I was at a Gold's Gym, kind of in the hood, and... Mm-hmm. Some guy was like, I guess my video had went viral like uh-huh. a couple of days before that. And this dude blasted up essay, Mexican homie,
uh-huh.
was looking at me and just like kind of like peeping me out. And I was like, oh, and for me, that meaning is like when someone's looking at you and they're right, it's uh-huh. like, oh, yeah, this guy's from the hood. He's probably going to bang on me right now. And
like, I got a strap again. Do I got to go
literally,
back?
Literally, the PTSD. I'm like, but,
where did it go?
Yeah. But he... But he starts to walk up to me and he goes, hey, excuse me. And I'm like, oh, what's up? And he goes, are you Johnny Chang? And I was like, what the hell? Yeah. And he goes,
what government name? Hold on. Yeah,
literally. He's like, I saw your interview, bro. And hey, homie, like he shook my hand, mucho gusto, whatever. And I was like, yeah, nice to meet you. And he goes, bro, your stuff with your dad and all that, amazing, bro. Like I'm actually exploring Christianity too. And I just want to say, and I'm like, what the? And then I felt stupid, right? Yeah. I was like, bro, I'm over here thinking like, oh, we got an issue. So for me,
you had to change your own ways. You're like, oh, okay.
Literally. So a lot of these challenges that kind of broke me down to build me up, I think all of this was part of God's plan, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but most people think I just stepped on the scene. I mean, social media, yes, but I was saved in 2014. And so from then on, I was actually, till now, have been kind of just studying and reading the Bible and all of that. So I think in terms of the spiritual discernment, God has cultivated me throughout the years. But yeah, you add that dynamic of fame, you add that dynamic of money, of people, again, coming up to you, mm-hmm. which, you know, that part was very difficult because I had to recognize that I'm not their savior, mm-hmm. right? There's one savior, I'm the sower, meaning I just, USPS, just give the message and then step off, right?
Yeah.
And at times, the enemy will give you the heart to be boosted. Oh, look, sure. They're crying, they know your name. They're quoting scripture. They're saying the bars that you say and the uh-huh. lines that you say. Uh-huh. And I had to remember, oh, I'm dirt. I'm nothing. Uh-huh. So recently we did one in El Paso. It was a live event that we do where we throw a free event, bring online community offline.
Yeah.
Meet everybody and gather because it's important. And there was like, I think that church never had more than 1,600 people, but they had it was a big church. Uh-huh. They could pack about 5,000.
Wow.
And so when we get there, it's 5,500, right? Wow. Three overflow rooms, everything's packed.
Oh, wow.
And they're just like, it's in El Paso, and they're just coming incredible. There. And I was like, what the hell? Immediately, I felt my heart lift, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, shoot. All these people are coming for me. And I'm like, nah. And I had to check myself literally in the room. I was like, they didn't come for me. Like, they see the Jesus inside of me. So I have to like chill with that because I learned and I see a lot of people and I meet a lot of people now, famous people, where they fall because they get big, like mm-hmm. their head gets big, right? It's mm-hmm. like I did this, I put in the work, which 100% is true. But at the same time, if you don't understand that God is at the foundation of it, you can't stay humble. It's like, well, I worked and I grind and I did this and I did that. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. you start to kind of slowly replace him in your life. That's mm-hmm. the one thing that I focused on in my life is, bro, you're nothing, right? Pastor always says this, you, Johnny, you can only end up in three places, right? Either prison for life, dead on the streets, or strung out on the streets. And it's so true. Mm-hmm. He's like, but because of God, you've changed and you've learned all of these things. Like, don't ever forget that. And I'm like, dang. And it humbles me every single time.
Yeah. Right? I would even, yes, and that with, when it's, you know, it's packed out, it's 5,000 people and they all came. There are some people who came for you,
sure.
But what they leave with is Jesus.
100%.
So even if they are showing up for you, mm-hmm. it's your heart posture of being like, well, what you're going to get from me is Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. That's so cool, man. Yeah. And that's like, I feel a weight of, you know, when people are coming to you for answers, do you ever feel like I have to know all the answers? Because like I watch some of your videos where people will come up on the microphone, they'll ask you a question on the spot. You just be like, and come up with like a eloquent answer. Do you ever not know and be like, man, that's a good question. I don't know the answer.
I don't, honestly, I haven't been stumped yet. And I think it's because I see things foundationally, right? So when somebody is asking something, I know their lips are saying something, sure. I know their words, but there's like a heart posture.
Uh-huh, I see right? what you're saying. I
yeah,
see
so saying. So there was a person who came up to me and was like, Johnny, how do you quote scripture? You know, the way you just pull it out and then you're able to answer and like convert your friends. Like, how do I do that? Right there, I just sensed that he had like validation issues.
Okay.
Because he wants to quote scripture to preach the gospel to his friends to then feel like, oh, I did my job as a Christian.
Okay.
So what I said was, hey, regardless if you save a soul or not, like God saved you. You're worthy in his eyes. And he started crying because he realized, oh my gosh, like that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you this question, but my heart is saying something else, Right. And so,
so good.
It's important to see a person and really listen to them, because a lot of people, they're listening to respond and they're listening to kind of assume, right? Mm-hmm. They assume what you say and they're trying to figure out what you're saying and piece it together. Whereas I've learned, you just got to listen and hear a person from what they're saying.
Yeah.
Right. And if you do that, people feel validated naturally. And then they you get to the root issue, because everyone's always, you know, self-help. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Therapy, that's great. But it's like you have to get to the root, because if you don't get to the root, it's like cancer. Right. You could get chemo and like wear a wig and all that. But if you don't fix it at the root, it's just going to keep coming back.
That's so good. My husband is really good at that. When people are talking, you could have said a whole different sentence, but he's going to hear what you meant behind it and address that.
Yeah.
And he does it to me all the time and I get so annoyed. I'd be like, uh-uh. But it's like so wise, and like it's that discernment, and then just like hearing from God, because sometimes people say something, I hear it at face value, be like, what'd you say? And then I got to pause and be like, hold on. Hurt people. Let me try to hear past it. But yeah, that's so good. So it's like you lean on your discernment and hearing what their heart is trying to communicate, regardless of the words that they're saying.
Sure.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I sometimes feel like that with the Bible, to be honest, because, you know, translating from different languages and different versions and different all the different things that go into the actual Bible that you hold in your hand from what it was meant to be, is I would always feel like sometimes we would like handcuff ourselves to this English version of a word on the page, as 100%. Opposed to the spirit behind what God is communicating.
Yes, yes.
I think I need to approach that with humans that I interact with as well.
100%. Yeah. Once you realize like everybody's struggling, like I believe everybody's interconnected to the struggle, right? Struggle is a universal language. Sin is a universal language. So when you just understand like this person who's coming up to you most likely has some kind of very human reasoning behind what they're asking for, then you connect naturally. Yeah. There's no judgment. It's just like, okay, I understand why they would ask that. Mm-hmm. There are people who ask things like, "What if God is good, why does it allow babies to die, right? They ask these really tough questions.
Yeah.
Right? And you're just like, you can get stumped, but really what I see is their heart. Totally. It's like something happened to them that it hurt them to then go, I'm mad at you, God. Mm-hmm. So you have to address that before giving them the answer, because that's just going to make them harden, right? The truth is it's just sometimes it's abusive to certain people because it's repulsive, right?
100%.
So I've learned like, okay, what are
not the truth is abusive. Let's pause for that for a second. Dang. Totally. Yeah. Okay. Continue. Yeah.
Truth without love specifically can be abusive, right? It's just, you got to like love first. You got to hear them out. But I don't know. Like, I guess me also, my experiences, which I think God has given me now that I look back and reflect, being locked up at 12 years old is kind of crazy, right? YA baby. Everybody knows California Youth Authority is crazy like that. And then I would look back at my life and be like, there is no God. Like, how is it that I'm a kid and when we go to trial, they're sitting there saying that he's a child assassin. They're like pulling up all the homies who shot people and said, look, he's his friends. He's being trained. Guys, he's 12, but like he's not 12. Right. He's evil. And I'm just sitting there like, what? Like, what's going on? It's all a foreign language. Right? You're 12. You're not understanding what's going on. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm gonna get a couple months. No. They say it's 4 years.
Wow.
And then they're like, you're going to go to SRCC, which is, you know, California Youth Authority. And from there, transition out. And I'm just like, what? And all my homies are like, when they heard that, they were like, bro, you're going to YA. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And then they're just like, dude, like, whatever you do, when you go in there, you fight. You don't let anybody take advantage of you. And I'm just like,
oh my God,
what? And I couldn't understand. And the first night, I remember being scared. I remember catching enemies and seeing them. And they ask you, where you from? And boom, we start fighting. It's just like, I think the first night I got into like 10 fights, right? And you had to get them out the way. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And so you're living this way and you're not understanding what's going on. And then, you know, you go through life and you're like, yeah, there's no God. Homies are dying. I'm seeing kids get like raped, literally just horrible things happening in there. And there's just evil everywhere. I grew up in Ramona Gardens, Project Housing, east side of LA. And I'm seeing all the weed heads and the meth heads and all that and crack and all that. And I'm just like, this is... there's no such thing. And yet I understand now, reflecting, going, wow, God, you put me in prison, which is pretty much hell on earth, in a place where, you know, you're confined by bars and steel and wall. But I realized going to all the prisons that I've been to, I've been on level 4 yards, level 3 yards, maximum security. I've seen overcrowded prisons, but I think through it all, the most overcrowded prison is the mind. Like people are the whole world is locked up. Like that's what I realized. And so when I'm preaching to people, that's how I approach it. Is there something that this person is bonded to? Now, it may not be a physical wall in a prison, mm-hmm. but it could be the prison of anxiety, the prison of depression, mm-hmm. the prison of loneliness. Like it's literally horrible, mm-hmm. right? And so when I see them like that, it just makes me kind of understand them from that perspective too.
Yeah. It is wild to me that when you survived life, period, from life on the streets to prison life, that one, you're alive, first of all. That's wild. And two, that you're like a regular, degular person. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could be real traumatized from everything you experienced and live your life from that trauma. Like, you True. Could have easily been that guy. Yeah. And the fact that you have received this like healing in your life, not just from like, oh, I don't do this or that anymore, but from everything that you witnessed and experienced, yeah. that doesn't rule your perspective on life. Yeah. That's a miracle in itself.
100%.
Wow.
Amen.
I have a billion, billion, billion more questions for you about your story. I'm so curious, but I do want to get into like our matitude and gratitudes. So our matitude is like, what's the thing that gets on your nerves? What makes you upset? What bothers you? What's that thing that you're like, ugh? Yeah.
I think for me is...
If you say the devil, I'm going to punch you right now.
I'm like, sin.
If you give me a Bible answer.
No. I think what bothers me is people who don't have receptive skills. So people who don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
And to that, people who think they know. Mm-hmm. That's like the most... Because when you think you know something, you can't hear anybody else.
Right.
And so for me, it's like, dang. Like, you're going to just assume what you know and then kind of like blanket that over me. And mm-hmm. I noticed that with a lot of people, whether it's pastors, just human beings in general. I think nowadays, because of all the distractions and iPad and technology, like everybody thinks they know something.
Sure.
And so when they speak, it's like, bro, you're not even trying to hear me out. Uh-huh. Like I'll say something and it just goes, and I'm like, okay, you're not listening.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's what irks me the most is because I've, at least being in prison, you got to mind something, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody says something, you have to pay attention because it's life or death, right? Uh-huh. And so I think just honing in on those skills and then listening to people, you it's a respect thing, right? Sure. I'm going to hear you out. I may not agree with you, sure. but at least I got to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to write you off because of X, Y, and Z. Uh-huh. So that's one thing that irks me, that it's like, you're not listening.
Do you, okay, so because the internet is like breeding ground for that, to just argue about anything, politics, what's better, orange juice or apple juice? Like just a whole, you could, anything. But especially politics and religion.
100%.
So how do you keep from, or maybe you don't, engaging in the online like arguments?
Yeah. So I focus on like winning souls, not winning arguments. Right?
Okay.
Like again, I'm a messenger and I think everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's one thing I had to learn was that people are going to say what they feel and that's how they feel. And so they're entitled to that. You can say whatever you want. I mean, and the things that they call me online, like if people come up and say stuff, oh, you're a heretic, you're this, mm-hmm. you're that. I'm like, bro, thank God that's all you know about me. If you played my life in a highlight reel, bro, I'll take that.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying?
So when you just know yourself accurately, then you're confident to be like, you could say what you want about me, mm-hmm. and I accept that. But at the same time, I know you shouldn't debate. Because most of these debates is really pushing their own agenda. Mm. It's like, look at how smart I am. Look at how great I am. I'm going to prove and like belittle you and break you down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's very rare that a debate is really productive. I've seen it the opposite way, especially when it comes to religion. Now, politics, I'm not really into, but religion is always like, I'm your daddy energy, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. I know more than you, and like, you got to submit to me. And it's like, dang, bro. Like, I thought it was submit to God, but you know, so I've read the Bible front to back 26 times. I've read it a lot. And so when I think about verses like 2 Timothy, I'm like, bro, you don't have to, your job is not to convince somebody. If these people are convinced in themselves, like if you convince somebody foundationally, it's an issue. Because religion is about trusting in faith. But what people come up and they debate about is confirmation. Okay, so this makes sense to me. Prove to me why it doesn't. At the foundation, it's like, if I only follow when I agree, then I'm God. So in the whole that whole scheme of things, that's why we don't debate. Right? So I met a lot of people who are like, make this make sense to me, and then I'll trust what you say. Mm. But if that's the case, then you're God. Because you're the one sitting there going, it has to make sense to me and my finite brain, mm-hmm. something that's infinite. And then I'm not going to trust you. Mm-hmm. So I've seen a lot of fans come and go where they'll sit there and they love the unlocks that I give. But as soon as I stop giving them unlocks, then their mind, because it shifts from dopamine to now like sitting there going, okay, I have to be patient and learn a lesson. Yeah. I'm not getting that. I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. So that's not a real follower, right? A lot of people accessorize God. And debating does that, where it's like, it's just like when we sit up there and like, at least street people, we see people fight. We like, oh, let's get the popcorn, right? Mm-hmm. We don't try to stop it. We're like, yo, let knock them out, right? It's the same with debating. It's like, ooh, okay, he got a point. Okay, he got a point. And you want to see that, but nothing about that is Christian.
No.
Right? It's more like, yo, you guys are brothers. We have one kingdom. Let's push towards Jesus. But it's like, nah, but I'm right though. I was 1500 years before you. Oh yeah, well, you don't have the papacy. You don't have the, it's like, bro, at the end of the day, God cares more about your heart posture and you loving on other people than sitting there winning arguments and not winning souls. So,
dang. Do people try to bait you a lot?
All the time. Ooh. And I'm just like, no speak of English. Straight up.
I can't
straight
stand up, you.
Straight up. Like, no speak of English. They're like, what? I'm like, no speak of English.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. That's a good attitude. Okay, moving into gratitude. I mean, you have so much to be grateful for from your life and where you came up. Now, this could be anything from gratitude within your family, gratitude within your ministry, within your career, from something from childhood, something that happened on the way here, like anything in your life. Yeah. We can go through a few of what are you grateful for?
Yeah. I think just being alive, like genuinely, I think about my life and I'm like, yo, I'm supposed to be dead. Mm-hmm. I've been shot. I mean, I've been stabbed. I've been through riots.
Wow.
Genuinely, like, you know, when I think about, sometimes I'll be like taking a shower. I have time to reflect and it's like quiet. And I'm like, dang, am I really still alive? Like, that's the one thing that always pops up in my head that I think is like almost a permanent, not a PTSD, but it's part of me. Mm. Where it's like, dang, am I really? Because I had a lot of homies die. And like last year, 3 of my friends passed away. Dang. Like it's still going on now. When you live in that lifestyle, it's just like that. It's part of it. And so I think the one thing I'm most happy about is being able to breathe, right? Mm-hmm. And wake up and not have to sit at a certain spot at a restaurant to see all exits.
Sure.
Not have to G-park my ride because their shootout will go and I can run off quicker. Like it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's amazing to sit there and go, dang, I'm free. Am I really free? Is kind of crazy, right? Everybody who's done a lot of time becomes institutionalized at one point, and then they fear leaving. There is this real fear of like, dang, I gotta, okay, so I have 3 hots in a cot. I'm respected here because violence is a universal language. So if I'm just violent, I'm praised for it. I don't have to use my words. I gotta go out there and deal with real life issues. I gotta pay bills. I gotta, you know, like, fend for myself, and I gotta feel less than and deal with my emotions and process it. That's all scary. So even like when I was short to the house, which means I was gonna get released within like 4 or 5 months, I had thought about like, should I just, I'm a 2-strike felon. So I'm like, should I strike myself out and just live in here?
Oh my God.
Because it was scary. Like I had a panic attack where I was like, I'm gonna go out there and what if I'm only like, I have a good reputation. People love me. They know who I am. I'm infamous. And so if I go out there, I'm going to look like weak if I can't make money, if I can't provide for myself. I'm not a man. But in here, I'm still a man. Mm. So I had to, it was so like it was the enemy, obviously. I didn't know, but it was like, dang, should I do? Should I just stab somebody and then, you know, get locked up or and stay locked up? Or should I go out there? And luckily, thank God I didn't do it.
Thank God.
Thank God. But, I, you know, I'm thankful for little things like this, too, where it's like just breathing and, you know, being able to travel is another thing. You know, me being being a felon, it's hard to travel.
Oh, yeah. What are the restrictions on that?
You can't go overseas. And depending on if you're still on parole, you definitely can't leave out of state either. So because I'm an international chaplain, that's the one thing that helps me get through secondary is to be like, hey, I'm a chaplain so I can go and do missionary work and I'm traveling for something versus them thinking I'm trapping or doing something crazy. So it, that too is, and I say that because recently, I was stuck on at the airport in Florida. There was a storm and they said every lightning strike is an added 30-minute delay. And I was dang, God. I heard like six of that. You know, it's what the hell? I know I'm not good at math, but dang, that's, I'm counting with my fingers.
But I leave on Thursday now, yeah. I guess.
Facts, right? So I'm like, this is crazy. But, you know, I'm sitting there and people are complaining. You know, oh, what's going on? This is crazy. They're getting in their one-star Yelp review mode, you know? Like, and I'm just like, this is wild, but I'm sitting there and I just reflected like, dang, just 10 years ago, I couldn't do this.
Wow.
10 years ago, I wasn't even sitting here. So I think it's for me, it's perspective in a lot of things, mm-hmm. right? It's like, I'm not supposed to travel, but I'm here and I'm stuck. Yeah, I didn't get home until 5 a.m. My flight was at 5:55 p.m. So it was like 12-hour delay and I'm tired and I didn't really sleep and you know all that. So I think that too is, okay, I can travel. There's just a lot of things that, just small things for me that I'm just thankful for.
When did you get out of prison?
2014.
And then everybody's on parole after prison?
Yeah. You're on parole for me it was 3 years, but okay. Some people do 5 years, some people do 2 years. It just depends.
Okay. So you had parole 3 years, and then after that you could travel to different states.
Yeah, after parole. Yes. Okay. But even then, I think they changed the laws recently, but there was a point where I couldn't even travel to states as well.
And what is it that flags, like when you go through TSA, something flags on their screen? That's
it's your record. So, oh, dang. And then they put you to secondary. They put you in this place where they kind of ask you, well, what happened during this time? And
do you still get stopped for that going through?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, it depends. And then it's really cool because TSA, they know me, right?
They're like, you go through Smiley, like, geez, I'm not that guy no more.
Legit. I'm like a nerd. I wear glasses, wear a little hat, you know? It's like, but I try to.
Holding your Bible in your hand.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Right. It's like a turtleneck. No, but I go through and TSA will recognize me. Like, some people are like, yo, oh my God, Shawnee.
Oh,
like,
sure.
And I'll go to secondary. They're like, bro, we know who you are. Like, it's so cool, you know? So I'm like, oh, that's all God. But yeah, before it was bad. They would stop me and they would kind of not interrogate, but they would be like, what happened on this? Okay, you got to focus on that. Why are you leaving? Where are you going? Uh-huh. When are you coming back? Et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, but now it's just like, oh, we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I just show them the little card. Like, okay, where are you going? I'm going here to preach the gospel. I'm going to this prison. Here's itinerary. Okay, cool. Perfect. Boom.
How do you get booked for prisons? Like, how do prison wardens like reach out to you? Like, what is?
I send him a mugshot.
Like yeah, he's got like a prison agent.
Yeah, do you have a prison agent? Is that how that works?
No. So
we got a great offer for you.
It's hilarious. No, actually, you just kind of volunteer. Everything, these prisons don't pay you, right? Sure. It's just volunteering, but. I started as a prison minister, and our church had a program where we were teaching inmates like a 16-week course. And so I would just go and kind of shadow a little bit, and then I started to teach the same course. We have a 16-week course, 52-week course, and we present that to prisons. Mm. We'll be like, hey, so we'll teach this thing where they know we're a Christian, you know, organization. But they also know, like, okay, he makes sense. He looks the part. He's been there. And we teach things like just skills, like how to deal with intrusive thoughts, you know, how to stop spiraling, you know, what to do when you go out and when someone disrespects you, like just behavioral management type
totally.
Of stuff. Right. And so at the end of it all, all of these lessons are genuinely from the Bible, but we don't add Jesus into it or God into it. it's more of like we teach them like Proverbs 3:6, like lean not on your own, own understanding. We teach them what rumination is, but like all of that is in the Bible, right? And so
because are you not allowed to make it?
A lot of the times it's, well, we want to be respectful because the class is open to everybody. Okay. So we have Muslims in our class, Buddhists in our class, Hindu, Native Americans, et cetera, et cetera. So at the end of it all, people are always asking like, bro, how do you have that knowledge, right? And I'm like, if you want me to be honest, like I'm going to keep it real with y'all. They're like, what is it? And I'm like, all of this is from the Bible. And I'll show it to them. Mm. Like this says, and they're like, what? And it's cool because it sparks an interest for people to then be like, dang, maybe I should read the Bible. Like I was a PK or I grew up in the church and everybody told me how to do this and that or I'll burn in hell. But like the way you put it, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll check it out. And now we have students who also teach and help us where it's like they started with a year ago and now they're like, oh, okay, I know this program and I can teach them this. And it's really, really cool.
What is the goal for you with like prison ministry? Is there like a ultimate dream you have?
Yeah, I think it's just, for me, I'm always just about the gospel. As cliche as that sounds, like I know that there's power in it because I've experienced it and I'm a product of it. So I don't think problems are, like anyone is too far gone, right? That's my main message. And so when I go to prison, most people think these people are too far gone. And a lot of the times they're right because they the recidivism rate is crazy, right? They'll come out and like for every 5 inmates, 3 return. It's wild. And so for me, it's like I think if you just taught them foundationally like these core beliefs that we believe in, it changes them. And a lot of the times, I guess this is my second thing, and it comes to religion is a lot of people are religious, but they don't have a relationship with God. Right. It's like they follow the laws, they keep the commandments, but it's almost like out of obedience of fear. Like I have to do this. Otherwise, I'm not valid and I'm not a good person and I'm not real versus like I want to do this because I love God. Right. There's information about Jesus and God everywhere, but there's like not enough relation. That's what I'm noticing about this, just this whole social media zeitgeist. Right. And so when it comes down to the prisoners, I want them to know that we don't judge you. Like genuinely, I can't judge you guys. Like horizontally, we can compare, right? Okay, I'm better than you. I'm better. But vertically, when we compare, we all fall short. It's just the truth. And so when I come with that energy, they see something different. They're like, yo, this is what Christianity really is. Like I thought it was like barking orders at you. If you mess up, God hates you. You know, you have bad luck. You're blocking your blessings. But that's the main thing. It's not just with prisoners. It's with everyone is to go. The message that a lot of people preach is sadly what irks me is the wrong message. And it's not their fault. I think it's things that was perpetuated through generations. It's things that, you know, they learned and was like, all right, like this is what it is.
Sure.
Most people have not finished the Bible front to back at least even one time. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know something contextually, it makes sense why you're going to go, well, he said it. So I'm going to say it too. Right. Yeah. And so I think my thing is to really reform not just prisoners, but this whole religiosity, this workspace stuff where it's like, oh, I'm competing, you know, and I have to do well. And if I don't show up, then God hates me. And I'm like, you guys haven't read the Bible. If God hates you, he destroys you, right? He doesn't just let you slide, right? And so again, people, I think that's the main goal.
Wow. Yeah. I think also like just church culture, like growing up in church culture, you learn some incorrect things.
100%.
And it becomes your gospel. It becomes like
facts.
Your truth. Mm-hmm. That's wild. Okay, give me another gratitude in your life. Something else you're grateful for.
I think I'm thankful for my relationships in my life. So relationship with my family, specifically my dad and my brother. You know, I blew up on Soft White Underbelly because my pastor told me to say sorry to my dad. And I'm like, okay, I know like in any country, right, whether it's Korea or China or America, the victim never apologizes to the aggressor.
Okay.
That's crazy, right? Yeah. So pastor was like, you know, Johnny, like, how's your relationship with your father? And at that time, I was still estranged from him. Mm-hmm. He never came and visited me in YA in prison. And I think it was because one, he didn't want to feel bad, but also he was a immigrant dad. Like, he doesn't speak English. Mm-hmm. So navigating the prison system is going to be difficult. Yeah, yeah. Clear backpack, all this other check-in stuff. It's hard. So it was hard for him. And I just took it as like, he doesn't love me, whatever. We didn't like each other anyways. And so, you know, I got out of prison. I didn't even let him know. He wasn't there to pick me up. It was just bad. And he was, again, a functioning alcoholic, but he would drink all day, every day.
Wow.
And so he goes, yeah, Johnny, you should apologize to your dad. And I'm like, what? Like, man, I was with you all the way up until that, right?
Yeah. It's
like, this is crazy. And I'm like, I knew it. You know, you guys are frauds and, you know, willing me in to forgive people and, you know, and all that. And
I'm out of here.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of was like, I got pissed. I was like, F that. You know, I was like cussing. I was like, I'm not going to do that. Like, you don't know my dad. He did this, this, and this, and this, and this. And Pastor, he saw things again foundationally. He goes, you know, Johnny, you're right, but you're miserable. And I was like, what? And I kind of listened to him. And he goes, you know, when you're around your friends, you have that heart to like, dang, how come you didn't, like, you had a father that was there for you, who cared about you. Like, when you look at other people, you also have that yearning in your heart, if you're being honest, right? Gang members keep it real, he said. Mm-hmm. So if you keep it real, you feel like that. And I was like frustrated, but it was true. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was like, dang, he's right. And then he's very good with analogies. So he's like, when two countries go to war, they both believe in something that they're fighting for, which means they're right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's no peace. You know, buildings collapse, people die. It's all chaos, right? Yeah. But when one side submits, then, you know, things are rebuilt, buildings, people are restored, healthcare, whatever, and like there's peace and things start to flow. He goes, so as right as you are, Johnny, I want you to, by faith, just apologize to your dad and tell him that you understand and see what he says. I believe God would mend that, you know. And so I went to my pops, you know, it was weird. I was like calling him. It was like a surreal experience. Called him, and the first thing my dad said was like, who's this, right? Which pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, bro, I'm your son, right? And I'm like, dude, it's Johnny. And he's like, oh. And the second thing he leads with, God is my witness, he goes, I don't have any money. I was like, man, I don't need your money, right? Like, so I was pissed, right?
Yeah.
But again, I'm thinking, okay, pastor knows there's a reasoning why he said what he said. He has peace. I don't. He's better than me. I acknowledge that. So I'm like, all right, let me just, hey, dad, I got something to talk to you about. Let's meet up here. It was at Noodle City. In Alhambra, and shout out to my Vietnamese people, but it was fire. It was so good. So we get over there, we eat. My dad, he, you know, it's awkward. Obviously, he's looking at the floor. I'm looking at the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
Sit down, and it's tense, right? And so I go, Dad, the reason why I called you here today is I just wanted to tell you that I'm sorry that I, you know, ruined your life at the American Dream. I'm sorry that I wasn't there for you, and that, you know, I joined a gang, and I caused a lot of shame to the family, because Asian culture, bringing shame to the family is a big thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dad looks at me, starts crying, and he's like, you know, I'm sorry, Johnny. Actually, I'm the one who couldn't control my emotions. I couldn't control my drinking, and, like, you had to pay for that. And we both were just bawling, and then we hugged each other, and it was a beautiful thing. For the first time, I felt like that 24 years of pain gone, right? And so I was like, dang, pastor knew. Like, he just saw it from this perspective of, like, you love your dad, and every child yearns to have a parent. Mm-hmm. You didn't have it, so you had to kind of make do with what you had, right? And so at the end of it, I think I was able to see now how my dad is. He stopped drinking. He saved.
Wow.
We have a he was on my podcast. We did a vlog together. He explained his side of the story of that time that we met.
Yeah.
He was crying, and it was just a beautiful thing. So a lot of people, you know, they family relationships specifically, like, people beef with their family most, right? It's like, it's just, they know all your dirt. They know who you are. They knew the BCU right before Christ. And it's like, they don't, it's just, they're skeptical. And so for me to have that relationship with my dad, where I honestly thought, and I'm ashamed to say this, but I wouldn't care if he died. I thought I wouldn't visit him at his grave. I don't care. To then go from that to having a very, very tight bond with him, to him now also, like, telling other people on my podcast, hey, when you listen to your kids, you know, when they're speaking, like, don't make them feel invalidated, you know, because things can happen like this. And I'm like, it's a whole nother person. Yeah. Just like he sees me probably as a whole nother person.
Yeah.
That's something I'm extremely grateful for.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Dang, won't he do it? Yeah, that, talk about redemptive. My goodness. And you're a pastor. I think we all need his phone number. he's got wisdom.
Yeah, bro, smart, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I can hire a translator. I'll do. Listen. Where are we? Okay, cool. Let's do one more gratitude in your life from anything.
I'm thankful for, I think, my community. So I've built Core of the Heart, which is my kind of digital congregation. Mm-hmm. And to see the amount of like lives impacted, our Discord community is at like 29,000 people alone, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all interactive. And it's just, I'll like hop on 4 a.m, you know, 4 p.m, like 600-700 people are popping up. So it's beautiful to see how much this generation is hungering for the word. Mm-hmm. I call them Titanic lives, where I'll sit there for like 2 or 3 hours and I'll just like interact with people. Mm-hmm. And nowadays where attention span is like just not there, mm-hmm. people aren't reading books, they're not studying, right, it's just everything is iPad again. Yeah. Information overload.
Yeah.
for them to do that, I'm very thankful, because there is a part. There are people that are genuinely empty and truth seeking, and they feel validated when you're speaking about the word, because it's speaking directly to their heart. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful for them, because dang, I know myself. I can't sit there and listen to a sermon for more than an hour before I'm like falling asleep. Sure. Right. So. I'm just, I guess, grateful that they support the community. They come out to the events. We have people literally flying from other countries. Like, we're doing Baptize Arizona, and we already see, like, people from Sweden coming out, people from the UK. And I'm just like, dang, they're taking money out of their time and their money out of their own pockets to come and just, like, meet and greet. You know, I do these things where I'll wait in line and I'll shake everybody's hand, and I'll take pictures with them. It doesn't matter if it takes 3 hours. Like, I tell the churches that I go to, like, we need this, because people come out and take time. And I just really appreciate that.
And they appreciate you. Yeah. And just like, you know, the one guy was saying who was locked up, like, I grew up PK, the way they say it, it didn't work. Mm-hmm. But the way you say it is changing something in me. So I'm sure there's people that are like, yes, I now have this faith that I never had before, but it was because of something that you said or the way you said it. And if I could just shake your hand and say thank you for that, I'm sure that means so much to people.
100%.
That's incredible. Yeah. In your Titanic lives that you do, do you have a quick story or anything that has happened, like a memorable moment from one of those, whether it's like an interaction with somebody or like any kind of like
big
story?
There's a lot, but on my live event one that really made me an impression on me, there was a lady that she wheeled up in a wheelchair, and, you know, she's paralyzed, I think, from neck down. Mm. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm already kind of thinking like, okay, what is this woman going to ask, right? Mm-hmm. Is she, and I don't know, right? I'm thinking, okay, she's probably born paralyzed or something happened. Mm-hmm. So maybe the question is going to be something along the lines of, why did God allow this to happen to me, right? And so I'm thinking of certain scriptures by myself, Isaiah 40:31. But there's this scripture that keeps popping up, which is Romans 7:15, Romans 7:20. And I'm like, okay, why? I'm not understanding. I know that scripture, but I couldn't understand it. When she pulled up, she gets on the mic and, you know, we actually clipped this up, which went viral, but she goes, I actually believe in Jesus. And, when I was young, I think she said like she was 16 or something, my father shot me, shot my mom, shot my brother, shot my sister, and killed himself.
Oh my God.
And so I was like, oh snap. And then, but she goes, the one thing is, the only people that survived was me and my mom. Everybody else died, right? Which was really sad. It was like quiet in the room. And she was, you know, crying, and she was saying like, I read the Bible and I try to believe in God, but every time I see my mom, there's like this hatred of like, why did you marry a man like that? Why did you get with a man like that, right? And so that's when I was like, oh my gosh, God, like Romans 7:15 says, I do the things that I don't want to do, the things that I want to do I don't do, the things that I hate that I do. So she's like, it's almost as if I read the Bible in the morning, but I'm hating my mom like that night. And I don't want to be like that. And then I was like getting chills when I was speaking about it. And I gave her the verse and she started crying. And I said, it's not you. You love your mom. You know, like without your mom doing that, you wouldn't be born. So I think there's a thing inside of you, a force that's pulling you to hate on your mom. And the enemy just makes us enemies to miss the real enemy, right? And she was just like, that unlocked it for her. So I taught her, like, you got to not trust your thoughts and your feelings, you know, and share that with your mom and realize that your mom didn't know either. She wasn't, she had kids with him. You guys had a life and he just lost it. And also don't blame your father. And she was like kind of looking at me and I was like, in my testimony, I blamed my dad, but I realized we're both people who, you know, everyone is struggling. Like your dad had some kind of compounded trauma that drove him to do that. If we peel it all the way back, there's something that happened to him, obviously, right? It's a mental issue for sure. Spiritual, 100%. And so she was able to kind of like release that. Mm-hmm. And so she waited in line even to like, you know, come up to me. And I was like, no, let her cut, obviously. And she shook my hand and she cried. And she said, Johnny, thank you. What you said really like made sense, you know, and it's crazy. And I was just like, dude, the Holy Spirit speaks through word always, scripture always.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was the craziest thing.
And that you hear the scripture beforehand and you're like, hold on.
Yeah.
That doesn't go with what I am assuming is about to happen, but noted.
Yeah.
Oh, I can only imagine how that felt too when she started saying the story and then you're knowing why that scripture pops in. Yeah. And even just like the confirmation of like, oh my gosh, God, you're so powerful and real and like handling all of this 100%. Right now. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Johnny, when I say I have a billion other questions and like I could talk to you for hours and hours and just share stories and just glean wisdom and wonder and be curious and all of that, I could go on for hours and hours with you, but I want to be respectful of your time. And I'm so grateful that you came on our Fungula podcast and shared some of your story and just your love, and what a blessing, man. Let everybody know where they can find you and follow you and all that.
Yeah, so we have an app coming out, and that's going to have all our stuff. It's called Core of the Heart Daily. It's on the App Store. We're battle testing it right now, but I don't know when you guys will release it. It should be another week or two, and it'll be ready for launch.
Oh, so, good, yeah.
But yeah, it's you can find me there. Also, if you look up just Johnny Chang, all socials is at Johnny Chang or, you know, Johnny Chang Live. Yeah, you guys can find me there. And I'm always doing, again, events. So if you guys text in, we do a lot of email marketing, SMS. Text in and we'll literally, when we come to your city, we'll notify you guys. And so, yeah, we bring a crowd too. So every city we go to, it's like 2,000 people show up. It's really cool.
Wow.
So if you guys want to come hang out with the community, because we believe firmly, too, a lot of things have become parasocial, and it's just not good. People are more connected in this age, but more isolated than ever, right? So it's kind of weird, the dynamic. But we want to break that mold, because I don't know about you guys, but when I'm alone and isolated in a lot of ways, my thoughts go a lot. Like, they go crazy, right? One thought leads into 10 thoughts. So we try to provide that for people to just come out, meet, and a lot of these people meet, and it's really cool.
Yeah. Has there been a city or a church that has been like your favorite that you've gone and been like, oh my gosh,
dang, you're about to get me canceled?
We had a wild time.
Break all these relationships.
We had a wild time for the Lord over here at a.
All of them. No, I'm just kidding. There was, I think, you know, I like smaller churches. Mm. I think the intimate setting, it's different. And you get to like, when it's like 5,000 people, like it's cool. But it's like, I can't talk to y'all.
Sure,
I can't.
Sure, sure.
I mean, literally, hey, picture and then leave, right?
Yeah.
So, and I feel bad because I'm like, y'all drove. And there's people who will start the service at 3. They're there at 8 a.m.
Wow.
And they're just like camping out. Like,
wow.
And I'm just like, what the hell?
Wow.
So I think for me, it's like just the smaller, intimate churches. I really loved Phoenix when I went to Victory Outreach Phoenix.
It was,
literally, I went there and it was packed, right? And they broke building code. It was crazy. The AC, we broke the AC.
For the Lord, though, for the Lord.
Legit, for the... right, you better not snitch. No, I'm kidding. But basically, At that time, I think they could only fit 1,000 people. They ended up fitting like 1,600 people.
Wow.
And then I was able to meet everybody. We stood there for hours.
Oh, wow.
Food trucks was outside. We talked to them, ate with them, chilled with them. It was cool. So that would be one of my favorites, I would say.
That's cool. Yeah. That's really awesome. Any last words you want to leave for the people?
No, I just appreciate everybody listening in. And if you guys, you're not alone out there. So if you guys need a community, we built online communities for stuff like this. Yeah. We have prayer requests in our Discord, anonymous, struggles where you don't have to say your name. Hey, I'm struggling with this. Can I get some help? We have mods who've read the Bible 16 times. I mean, we have everything, right? And so I always want to give back because, like, so much was given to me. Mm-hmm. And so I hope you guys can, join and take advantage. Again, all of it is free. So
that's amazing. Yeah. Incredible. Thank you again. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, listening, and watching. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Peace.